This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
All right, it's 8 o'clock on Tuesday. It's time to get petty. 713-572-4610. Before we get to that, there is a texter, Seth. We were wondering, the Belichick ring cam video that popped like a year ago that's become topical again because of the relationship that he's in. Shirtless, yeah. Clearly looks like locked out of a house early in the morning. Like Pablo
Torres. Speculation Torres. That it was Jordan Hudson's house that he was locked out of. Yes.
Yeah. His girlfriend. I loved Pablo Torres' analogy. Like a bear wandering in the woods looking for food. That is what he looked like. Big old barrel-chested Belichick. We were wondering how that video made its way to the Daily Mail and the other outlets that were playing it a year ago. It was just a funny video a year ago. Now it's a possible breadcrumb in what could be other extortionable videos that may or may not exist on the cloud somewhere. We'll see. Texter, the way it could have made it to the internet is through the Amazon Neighborhood Link program. You give all the Ring cameras access to use your internet network for connectivity. You have to go on your Amazon settings and opt out to disable it. He could have been hacked.
It comes with that in the first place, and then you have to opt out.
According to this texter, I guess.
But again, and that's where I wasn't trying to act like, oh, Jordan Hudson definitely did it whatsoever. Right. It speaks to the sloppiness of the way you handle your affairs. And as of right now, it looks like Jordan Hudson has introduced a whole lot of sloppiness to the way Bill Belichick conducts his affairs.
Yeah.
At least being around, if that is, it's the general sum total of all these different scenarios that, whether it's extortionable or not, it's just the kind of way that Belichick has never really operated before and has always been trying to keep things as close to the vest as possible.
Yeah.
And now everything's just open to the world.
He's just never had to account for stuff like this before, you know?
Yeah.
All right, Pettycast time. I'm going to start with Alperen Şengün. Good job, Alpi. Posted a, he did a post. I saw it on Twitter. I'm guessing it was up on Instagram as well yesterday. But it was a thank you post for the incredible season. Obviously, it's taken LP a week or so to process his emotions because it took a week to post this. Thank you, Houston, for another incredible season. I'm proud of this team, my brothers. We fought every step of the way, grew together, earned everything we achieved. The journey wasn't easy, but we stayed locked in. We're not satisfied. We're hungry for more. Season taught us a lot, and next year we're coming back stronger. Time to lock in, get to work, elevate. Let's get it. Hashtag Red Nation, hashtag H-Town, hashtag Next Chapter, hashtag Work in Progress, with a gigantic picture of Alperen Şengün dunking on Draymond Green. Hand on Draymond's head, arm in the rim, dunking on Draymond Green. That's petty. That's what this segment was made for.
He came around strong with that after just a very boomer like 29 hashtags in his tweet. good job.
Nice recovery.
Yes, yeah. Good recovery from a psychotic number of hashtags.
Yes.
This one, it's a little tough for me to get fully on board with it because it's A, the Warriors won, and B, Draymond Green just really gave Şengün a hard time in that series.
He did.
And yet, I admire Petty. Much in the way, look, if you play your dad in basketball, one-on-one all the time. If you just keep talking smack, at some point in your life, you're going to be better than your dad at basketball.
Right.
And Draymond Green is going to get worse and worse at basketball over the next few years. Talk that smack. Ideally, you'll own him next year. But if it isn't next year, it'll be the year after that or the year after that.
That's right.
So go for it. Yeah.
That's right. I just like it. Yeah. Alperin, the best kind of pettiness to me sometimes is when you're like, all right, that guy did kind of get the best of you, but you're still posting pictures of dunking on him. That is petty.
There's one thing I've learned in the last few years is that you never lose an argument if you refuse to concede that you lost
that
the argument.
That is right. Yes.
Yes.
Good
as job. Long as you just keep arguing, you keep claiming that you won the argument.
That's
yes.
it. Yeah.
You won the argument.
You'll wear him down eventually. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Next one. Trey Hendrickson probably has reason to be petty, but Trey Hendrickson put out a statement yesterday. Trey Hendrickson, leading sacker in the NFL last year, 17 and a half sacks for the Bengals, a Bengals team that has paid T. Higgins, that has paid Jamar Chase this offseason. Mm-hmm. Trey Hendrickson has 1 year left on his deal, and it seems like was told, hey, man, go out and do your thing this year, and we're going to take care of you. That has not happened yet. In fact, it's been the opposite. The Bengals have told Trey Hendrickson at various times this offseason, hey, if you want to go find a trade partner, knock yourself out.
Ain't no money left for you.
That's it. Well, this was Trey Hendrickson's side of it. This was his statement yesterday. No communication has taken place between my camp and the organization post-draft. The offers prior to the draft did not reflect the vision we shared and were promised last offseason if I continue to play at a high level. Translation, not enough money. Coaches are aware of these past conversations. Rather than using collaboration to get us to a point to bring me home to the team, they, all caps, are no longer communicating, meaning the Bengals. I have been eagerly awaiting. Boy, he might even mean the coaching staff there, which is, that's one thing for the front office to not communicate, but if it's the coaching staff too, that's something.
Yeah.
I have been eagerly awaiting a resolution of this situation, but that's hard to do when there's no discussion and an evident lack of interest in reaching mutual goals.
Okay, before we read, I haven't read JJ's response on this yet. I intentionally did not read it because I didn't want my opinion to be softened or lessened by JJ and what he's saying.
Okay.
Two things about this.
Yeah.
One, you signed a free agency contract with the Bengals.
Thank you.
What did you expect?
Yeah.
What on earth did you expect, Trey Hendrickson? You signed the deal. You're not a rookie that was locked into a rookie contract that he had no control over or what have you. Play your stupid deal out, ball out, and then go get a deal elsewhere next year as a free agent or what have you. Two, you're a veteran in the NFL. You know damn well, or you should know damn well, that when a team says, don't worry, we'll take care of you, that your definition of getting taken care of could be wildly different than their definition of getting taken care
Great
of.
Point.
I will be a grumpy old man in this regard and say, nope, in this scenario, you signed your contract with the Bengals with a known reputation for not really taking care of guys all that often or frequently or regularly. What the hell were you expecting? You're no better than Bill Belichick if you were surprised that all of a sudden Jordan Hudson has brought a lot of drama.
Yeah, no, that's a good analogy too. And I want to make something very clear because the Bengals are a bad organization.
Right.
You, in this instance, are not pro-Bengals.
No.
You are taking issue with Trey Hendrickson and the way he operates.
Don't act like all huffy and put out by it.
Yeah.
You signed a deal with the Bengals.
Right.
You got yourself into this.
Right.
Now
right.
Shut up and play football.
Are you
entertain me?
You want me to read JJ's
let's
tweet
see how
here?
Far okay. off I am. Yeah.
JJ says, I assume that your conversation with the Bengals went something like this. Last offseason, quote, we don't want to do a deal now, but we'll make you right next offseason and get it done early, end quote. Player has great season, .. This offseason, low ball offer and or crickets. And then this is his advice to, and JJ's said this before, pay a fair price early or pay top dollar later. Teams want to treat it like a business, but don't like it when players do the same.
Yeah. No, they're, I don't know. And that's, I guess I agree with everything JJ just said right there. But again, it's the Bengals. Like, if you didn't expect to, I don't have any sympathy for Trey Hendrickson.
And JJ Watt may very well, quietly agree with what you're saying about the Bengals. In fact, I'd be shocked if he didn't, but he's not going to put that on social media.
Well, no. And remember when JJ signed his first big $100 million deal, he said right along the way, like, yeah, this is the way it works. If you play really well, you're going to be underpaid by the end of the contract. Yeah. You just got to understand that going in. Yeah. Yep. And I've always felt that with free agency contracts. Like, if you feel like you're going to want to get paid more after you have a good couple of years, then sign a 2-year deal.
Right.
It's as simple as that.
Yep.
If you take the security of the big total dollar amount up front, you pay for it on the back end because you're going to be underpaid. So just sign a shorter deal.
I just see stuff like this, and the Bengals are not the only team going through stuff like this right now. Contractual drama with players, guys maybe wanting out, looking to get traded. I mean, Tyreek Hill's doing it in Miami again. Jalen Ramsey's doing it in Miami. Dallas has had all sorts of issues with guys' contracts because the Dallas Cowboys drag their feet. And these aren't the only teams that do it. It's nice. I mean, it doesn't make for a ton of great controversial content coming out of NRG Stadium, but yep. The Texans are a team like Danielle Hunter signed a 2-year deal. Guess what he got this offseason? Another $35 million because he balled out and had a bunch of sacks last year.
As far as the advice to both teams and players is this. If you're a team, never tell a player, hey, don't worry, we'll take care of you next year. Right. Because you already have a problem. Because taking care of somebody could mean a million different things. And usually the team and the player have a different opinion of what taking care of them is. And then as far as the player goes, right, don't ever accept that or believe that at face value when they say, oh, yeah, we'll take care of you. Don't worry about it. You're a sucker for believing that.
Yeah.
If they tell you. If you've been in the league for any amount of time and you think that this is all, you know, happy, happy, joy, joy, and there's no business, like, it's never going to get ugly. Just, you're a sucker for it. Don't be a sucker, Trey Henderson.
I would say just make a rule if you're a player that if even the word contract comes up between you and anybody from the team, direct them to your agent. Just draw a line in the sand and say, I don't talk about anything contractually with anybody from the team. That's what my agent is for. Because I can tell you right now, good agents would not have taken "we'll take care of you" as the takeaway from those conversations.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Good. I don't know. I don't like when players act like the victim when like it's a business. Like what JJ said there, I agree with him, but I think we might have a different stance on it, which is. Yeah, a lot of players are a sucker for the old, like, hey, give it the old team effort, and then they act shocked when they try to treat it like a business.
Yeah.
Like, no, you got to understand the entire way along the line. It's a business.
Yep.
And just, you won't be so emotionally put out by it when you all of a sudden realize that it's a business.
Shedeur Sanders met with the media this weekend at rookie minicamp and was asked, we continue with the Pettycast here at 8 o'clock segment on a Tuesday. Text in 713-572-4610. Shedeur Sanders was asked. We have the question too, right, Ben? Okay, this is a Tom Brady related question. Shedeur had a Zoom call. Shedeur and his dad, Coach Prime, had a Zoom call with Tom Brady after Shedeur went in the fifth round of the NFL draft. Here was that question. And
Tom Brady talked about sending your message after the draft. Mm-hmm. So, what did you take away from that? His advice to you.
That was it. My story is going to be similar. You know, I was a late round draft pick, but we're here now, so none of that stuff matters. That just mattered on the day, and I'm just excited to be here and ready to work.
Okay, so what did you take away from your conversation with Tom Brady, and the obviously the line that got a lot of attention? And I'm putting it in the Pettycast just so we can workshop this here. I do like some of the things Shedeur said, but. That my story is going to be similar to the guy that won 7 Super Bowls.
Did he say my story is similar or is going to be similar?
Play it one more time, Ben. Can you play the answer?
That was it. My story is going to be similar.
Going to be similar, okay. Yeah.
Going to be similar, yeah. Now, I think because Brady had talked about it on one of the Paul Brothers podcasts that, you know, he said that the advice he gave to Shedeur was like, hey, it doesn't matter where you get drafted. I got drafted in the sixth round, all of that. So that part of it is, hey, you can go in and earn your way into having a great career. I guess the dissimilarity would be that I don't know if Brady told Shedeur, hey, you'll go on to win multiple Super Bowls.
That's how everybody's taking it.
A lock Hall of Famer. Yeah.
Yes, this is the Pettycast. So that's how, at least for the next 6 minutes, I choose to internalize it.
I'm gonna stand up for Shedeur on this. It was pretty vague how he described it, and he was probably just thinking about the exact like, yeah, you're a late round, you're not a high draft pick. You're gonna have to earn it, and that you can, you know. Don't worry about where you're selected.
It's worth, he supposedly has looked good at rookie minicamp, but having been to rookie minicamp with the Texans, I know what goes on there. There's not a lot that really tests you as a quarterback at rookie minicamp.
I saw a Cleveland radio host almost grudgingly when pressed to say who had who looked better, that he thought that Dylan Gabriel looked better.
Okay.
But he was very he was saying the same thing you just said. It's like they're out there throwing against nothing, basically.
I'll tell you some of the audio that was getting a lot of attention from up there. Maybe I can go find it. Is Dylan Gabriel, and I heard the audio on their station, Dylan Gabriel took issue with Mary Kay Cabot asking a question about the competition between Shadur and Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah.
To where he said, like, things like that are divisive. You know, like, that's, they have, you know, like, questions like that are divisive. And boy, the host on the station killed him for that.
They killed Dylan Gabriel for saying that?
Yeah, they're like, well, these are questions. This is a normal question to ask.
Yeah.
So
I'll find the
audio.
Dylan Gabriel being combative.
I'll find the audio. He wasn't. I mean, the tone. I'll find the audio. I just thought it was funny, like that. They were killing the kid already. All right, this I know you can get petty about. This is just randomly floated across my Twitter timeline. But anytime Anthony Richardson futility stats show up, it's fun to remind ourselves that the Texans reside in the same division with this scattershot fool. So Anthony Richardson, Seth, this, for whatever reason, the algorithm fed this to me. He's completed just 38% of his passes beyond 7 yards downfield when not pressured. So beyond 7 yards downfield when not pressured, Anthony Richardson is completing 38% of his passes. The NFL average is 57%. No other quarterback is below 45%. One touchdown and 6 interceptions on those throws. So if he's throwing anywhere beyond behind the coziest of linebackers up against the line of scrimmage,
when unpressured,
yes, he is last among 44 QBs in this particular situation in completion rate, in expected points added, in touchdown to interception ratio, and he's 40th in accuracy, which I guess would be catchable balls.
It's actually, I'm going to say, but by his standards, it might not be that far of a drop-off from all other circumstances, because he completes 49% of his passes in all situations. But he completes 45% of those.
Yeah.
Whereas the NFL average for these situations is 57%.
He's
equally bad in all scenarios, whether he's being pressured or not.
He completes 38%. He's the only quarterback below 45%.
Gotcha. He's 30. Okay, so he's a drastic fall-off.
Yeah,
that's one of our listeners actually DM'd that to, I think, the both of us. So I don't remember who it was.
Okay.
But yeah, he's awful, man. He is awful.
Yes.
And yet, because the Colts are a relative afterthought and people don't watch the AFC South all that much around the league, in any given week, there's a freakishly good play that Anthony Richardson makes and people will say, oh, thought he wasn't accurate. No. Yeah, he's very capable.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Of making incredible throws, but he's also capable of widely overthrowing wide open Xavier Worthies for easy touchdowns
You know, Adonai Mitchell is who you're thinking of.
Adonai Mitchell as well, but if Xavier Worthy were on that team, he'd overthrow him
for sure. For sure. Anthony Richardson might be the only QB who would look bad at rookie minicamp. Someone just texted. That is true. Anthony Richardson would probably sail balls at rookie minicamp. Like, wow. Ooh. Against air, huh? Question, and that's our petty cast. Text in 713-572-4610. Someone's asking, have there been any Texans-related leaks or rumors yet schedule-wise? I've not seen any. Which
that might be bad news if you're looking for one of these special Christmas Day games or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. That tells me the schedule might be a little more conventional this year than it was, than it was last year. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. All right, the NBA lottery was last night. The Rockets are picking 10th. The conspiracy theories are flying. People bringing up examples of previous years where similar things happened. I have a question. How massive would an NFL lottery be in terms of popularity? If the NFL did their draft the same way the NBA did, how big a deal would that be? We will discuss that coming up next.
Pick number 10 will be made by the Houston Rockets.
Houston receives this pick from Phoenix due to multiple previous trades.
One of many picks the Rockets have over the next several years. That is nice. They've got a nice war chest full of draft picks. This one, unfortunately, did not move up in the lottery like last year's pick from Brooklyn did, where the Rockets moved up to 3 and they were able to take Reed Sheppard. They'll be picking 10th if they indeed choose to keep that pick. We'll get into the various conspiracy theories with this particular lottery, which is, it's ripe for them, with Dallas winning the lottery last night just mere months after making one of the dumbest trades in NBA history, the Luka Doncic trade. And now here's Dallas, and they're going to land Cooper Flagg. And we'll see. There's no guarantee Cooper Flagg turns into something great in the NBA, but he is certainly, clearly, in terms of how well thought of he is, among NBA people, he is a far and away the number one player in this draft. I was thinking about this watching this last night, Seth. You know, it is still somewhat of a spectacle, I guess, although it's 6 o'clock in the afternoon on a Tuesday, the NBA draft lottery. Probably not as big a deal as it used to be when people knew more of these guys coming into the league back in the day. If the NFL did a lottery for their draft similar to the NBA, where all the non-playoff teams had varying chances to land the number one overall pick, I think would be a massive spectacle. Given the importance of quarterbacks in the NFL, given the possibility of a team that already had a quarterback landing the number one overall pick, which is basically being handed either a really good player or a bunch of picks, the NFL draft is a much more fluid economy when it comes to the trading of picks with each other than the NBA draft. You don't see a lot of moving around in the NBA draft the way you do in the NFL draft. The storylines it would create, the fact that I think people generally, the average fan knows way more of the players that would be falling into that area of the draft in the NFL than in the NBA, I think an NFL draft lottery would be just a massive, massive spectacle.
It would be monumental, because it would also add, if you did the lottery the day after the Super Bowl, then immediately you turn into all the speculation about trading up to get the quarterback and that, this, that, the other. So as the teams are going through the combine and pro days and everything else like that, the everything having been recently rejiggered by the draft order, I think it would bring that much more hype to the it would be that much more heightened, all the dialogue and drama about whether you trade up for a quarterback or not, because there are a lot of teams that maybe didn't think they were going to be in the running for one of the top quarterbacks all of a sudden are. Yeah, and then the team that was the worst team in the league, the Titans, would be all clamoring and angry that, oh, we got screwed again, the league screwed us, they it was a frozen envelope screwed us, yeah, and that's why we're not going to get Cam Ward.
I hadn't thought about that. I just thought of what the spectacle would be, but you raise an interesting point. Like, when on the calendar would be the best time to do it? Now, your way of doing it makes sense, because then you know the draft order going in and you're watching the combine and the workouts and everything else. And free agency, you probably need to do it before free agency, I would imagine, the lottery.
Well, if you had a situation like, let's say the 49ers or the Cowboys would be a lottery team in the NFL draft.
Yeah.
If the 49ers land with the number one overall pick this year, when they're also trying to figure out whether or not they want to keep
Brock Purdy
an extension.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm all for this.
Yeah, because when you said do it right after the Super Bowl, I'm thinking like, all right, well, so the counterpoint would be, do we drag it out so there's anticipation? But I think you're right. Like, you do it the week after the Super Bowl. Give it a couple days to marinate.
You have to give it a week or so.
Yeah.
Like the next weekend or something. Have everybody lick their wounds and get over the hangover and all of that.
Yeah, yeah, because you don't want to – because the follow-up to the Super Bowl, do you do it after the parade? Like, that, then all the dust and confetti is settled from the Super Bowl, and now you do it, you have the draft order, and you're going – boy, and then you know, like, the trades can all get going and things like that.
Oh, yeah, no, and definitely you need at least a week, because I can tell you just from monitoring – The one great thing about being on YouTube now is that you get just such real-time data. And, man, that week after the Super Bowl, people are done with the NFL.
Yeah.
There's very little appetite for anything. They're just, everybody's like, all right, I've had enough.
I need to rest.
It's been a long season and postseason. I need a little bit of a break.
Dude.
But, yeah, that potential for non-playoff teams to end up with the number one overall pick, you're going to get way more scenarios. You know what it would do, Sean? You would end up then, you'd have a lot, because the number one overall pick is actually not as, it's harder to trade than you would think.
Yes.
That's one of the big counterintuitive things. Unless you're in a year where there's an awesome slam dunk number one overall quarterback, most teams, and a lot of GMs look at that, even though they would never admit it, as like, I'm not going to trade up. That's how you get fired. Trade up for a number one overall dude who's not a quarterback and it's a bust.
Yeah.
Then that's a – so guys don't want to touch it. But if all of a sudden you've got – let's say who would be the best example? Probably the Dolphins. Let's say the Cowboys. Let's say the Cowboys end up getting the number one overall pick.
They got Dak already.
They're happy with Dak. Yeah. They're paying with Dak. All of a sudden, even if it's in a year where there's a number one slam dunk quarterback,
right,
the trade market is going to be incredible.
Incredible.
The NFL needs to do this now.
Yeah, you like this idea.
Yes, Sean. You're going to save the NFL.
Yes, it needs saving.
Yeah. You will save the NFL.
The funny thing is, you know, the NBA put the lottery in to try to curtail tanking, and it hasn't worked. Teams still tank, and they're willing to tank even with just, as you pointed out earlier, just a minuscule chance. Even the worst team in the NBA, you still only got a 14% chance of getting the number one overall pick, you know?
Right, yeah. When the Rockets were the worst team in the league, you're still, versus the field, you don't have a great shot of getting the number one overall pick.
At all. The NFL really doesn't need a lottery. Like, I don't think tanking's not a big problem. If anything, there's a team or two every year that get criticized for winning games at the end of the year.
And at the very, or in the case of the Texans, when they got the number two overall pick, that was the year that the Bears had intentionally tanked, right? And they ended up.
It was Carolina was picking first. And I think
well, they traded up for the Bears.
That's right. The Bears had the number one pick. They traded up to get it. Yes. Yeah. The Bears folded up their tents in week 18.
So it became an issue in the last game of the season. It didn't drag out over the final 3 or 4 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
So by and large, tanking hasn't been as much of a problem that people feared it would be.
Texans are out there converting 4th and 13s and 4th and 20 Hail Marys.
The Colts are dropping easy interceptions.
Oh my God. Oh, think about that, man. Like, if that play, that Hail Mary to Jordan Akins, had just grazed a finger on that DB, the world changes, probably, you know?
He couldn't have missed it any more egregiously than he already did.
It sailed right through, like, swish.
At the very least, a pass breakup.
Crazy.
That you should have gotten out of that.
Crazy. Yeah. Crazy. All right, so the conspiracy theories are out about this lottery because Dallas Dallas won the lottery just months after trading Luka to the Lakers. This is the one I saw last night, Seth. LeBron leaves Cleveland in 2010 to go to Miami, and Cleveland wins the lottery in 2011. CP3 traded from New Orleans the next year.
Mm-hmm.
New Orleans wins the lottery in 2012. They get Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis himself traded from New Orleans to the Lakers in 2019. Pelicans win the lottery. They get Zion Williamson. And then last night, Luka traded from Dallas to L.A. They win the lottery here. I don't know what the theory would be on those others. Those seem like more coincidence than anything else. Well, the theory with Luka is the conspiracy theory is that the league, Adam Silver, conspired with Dallas to get Luka to a bigger market with LeBron, and the give back, the quid pro quo was, here's Cooper Flagg.
Right. I guess the test for that is always that in any given year, there are many more teams who trade a player away and who don't get the number one overall pick in the draft. Like, yes. Whenever you see a coincidence, you got to also say, okay, let's look at all the times that the coincidence didn't occur.
Yes.
And it's not like it's a slam dunk. And usually good players, when they get traded away, are on bad teams where they're in a rebuild situation or whatever else it might be. When a team relinquishes a guy, they've gotten to the point where they say, all right, this guy's unhappy, we suck, let's just go ahead and start from scratch. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't quite push me over into the conspiracy side of things. I understand. I totally understand and get it, why people get PO'd or it just doesn't look right or whatever. But it does... For me personally, that doesn't actually convince me that 30 billionaires, hyper competitive billionaires, have decided that we're going to help out one of the teams that we're competing against.
About the team that still has Mark Cuban in the building in some shape, form, or fashion. You know what I mean?
Like,
he doesn't own the team. He owns part of the team now. He's not in a position of influence. I still look at the Mavericks. I look at it like it's Cuban's team. That's the best point that you made this morning throughout all this is, for it to be conspiracy theory, you would have, can you imagine Tillman Fertitta agreeing to this? You know what I mean? Like the conspiracy thing. It's not Adam Silver doesn't own the league. He works for the owners.
It's one of the biggest disconnects, I think, in how people kind of perceive the sports leagues is that they, because the commissioner is way out more front and visible, that it's easy to forget that the commissioner works for the owners.
Correct.
And that where a lot of the conspiracy theories fall short is believing that somehow these guys, who, by the way, the whole thing about.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
The whole thing about somebody who becomes a billionaire is that they lose all sense of like doing anything. Many of them do. The whole like, hey, let's do it for the esprit de corps of the entire league or whatever. Let's collude.
Yeah.
Let's just do it and let's help this team out. Like, no. As money hungry and vicious and everything else as they were to become a billionaire, they don't all of a sudden turn into kumbaya
right.
merchants.
Right.
They're not like, oh gosh, yeah. Well, if it's good for you guys and it's good for me. Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, if that were your plan, NBA and owners, and I'm with you, Seth. I don't think that it is. But if it were, your plan sucks right now. They got knocked out in five games in the playoffs, the Lakers did in the first round. They got knocked out in five games, and the coach is passive-aggressively calling out the very player that you had moved over there for being fat.
I think the biggest question, Sean, that we just keep, you know, just casually avoiding is really, let's get to work. What do the Rockets need to do to get Adam Silver to put a cold envelope, a cold ping pong ball in there?
No kidding,
I think it's a magnetized ping ball. I think that's
how
they do
you think it is? That's how
they
fix it?
Yeah, I think it's a magnetized ping pong ball.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
So how do we get Adam Silver to put the magnetized Rockets ping pong balls in there?
I feel like if Adam Silver maybe has some skeletons in his closet or some things he likes to do in Vegas or whatever, we have a casino magnate as the owner of the team.
I'll tell you what. Going be nothing but the headshot.
Yeah.
If Adam Silver is into some weird stuff, I do not want to know what it is, because that guy has a look. If he's into some really weird stuff.
If he's into weird stuff, I don't want to know what the person who's getting with him is into. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
And the person he's with is into really weird stuff.
It's like a necrophilia or something.
Zombie.
I like to pretend I'm a corpse for necrophiliacs.
Something.
What a weirdo.
Payne and Pendergast with you. So that's the lottery coverage you're getting on this show, everybody. All right. Joe Espada pops up on an odds board that I don't know that we've seen him on, maybe early last year. But what are the chances? We'll tell you what the odds board that the Astros manager popped up on coming up next. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Question on the text page. We just got done talking about the NBA lottery. Rockets will be picking 10th in this upcoming draft thanks to last night's lottery results. Have they ever showed footage of the lottery happening post-80s or 90s? Don't they just open the envelopes? Why would they need to do anything to the balls? I think Seth is joking about the magnetic balls, just to be clear. I think.
I am. And I guess, I hate that there's people out there that didn't realize I was joking, I'm guessing.
I've not seen them show any footage of them. Yeah, like since the 80s and 90s, they just bring the envelopes out and put them on the, you know, put them on the shelf there. I liked it back. The very first one with the Patrick Ewing lottery, they had all the envelopes in like one of those hoppers, like the nightly lottery drawing. And there's like one of those vats that they turn with a handle.
Yeah. It makes me wonder whether the NBA actually kind of enjoys or likes the conspiracy theory stuff, which I think that's short-sighted. If they like the extra buzz and clicks they get on social media, I vote against that. I think you need total and complete transparency as much as possible. There will still be people, obviously, they're going to have their conspiracy theories. But why don't they show up?
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe I am starting to believe in the magnetized ping pong ball. Like, why don't they just make it as transparent as possible? I don't get that
part of it. I'm not surprised there's conspiracy theories. I am surprised the results of Will Kunkel's Twitter poll on this is 91% of the people think the lottery last night was rigged.
Yeah, I don't know.
91%?
So even if some people are joking when they say it, I am surprised that it's that high and that slanted.
Yeah, that's all. Like, I'm not, like, I understand the theories being out there. I understand there being a segment of society that believes in those theories. And, you know, granted, it's 100 people voting on Twitter, which is a would seem to be a petri dish for this sort of stuff. Like, it would seem that Twitter would be a place where it might skew high. Just not that high.
So, according to artificial intelligence, which has already demonstrated itself to be just ridiculously bad this morning in sports things, the league wants to maintain the integrity of the lottery and prevent speculation about potential manipulations. Right? The notion that, like, no, we're going to do everything behind closed doors in secret, and that's how we'll prevent people speculating about this, that, or the other thing.
Yeah.
People are going to speculate regardless, so you might as well, if maybe all you want is clicks, then yeah, go ahead and put it out there, and people will come up with all kinds of, like, oh, look, the shadow over here changed as soon as the person came up to select the lottery, the ping pong ball, and that's how you knew the fix was in.
So Joe Espada, Seth, is popping up on the next manager fired odds. We've seen two managers get fired in the last week or so, Derek Shelton in Pittsburgh, and then Bud Black finally got fired in Colorado after, like, a year and a half of, like, why is he still managing? They'd lost 21-0 in a game this past weekend. They fired him the next day. He's not high up the list, Joe Espada. The favorites right now are Dave Martinez in Washington, Brandon Hyde in Baltimore, who I want to say is Joe Espada's brother-in-law. They're tied together, related somehow. Text in. Am I right on that? Ron Washington of the Angels is pretty high up. He's 2.5-1. John Schneider in Toronto, 5.5-1. Those are the four that are significantly ahead of everybody else. And then up pops Rocco Baldelli of Minnesota and our very own Joe Espada at 25-1. Look, Espada hasn't been perfect. The team is not very good right now. I have a hard time blaming Espada for their just complete inability to hit. Do you feel like there's any danger in Joe Espada's? Is his seat hot right now?
I don't think it's hot. I think that Jim Crane seems really comfortable with him. If he could get to a point where he was actually in a high-stakes playoff series or what have you, where managerial decisions made a difference, then maybe we'd see it then. I know a lot of times, I would say 90% of the time when somebody, you know, tweets at me or whatever about Joe Espada, it's after a player has underperformed in a specific situation. And I'm with Espada, as it's been the last couple of years, my question has always been, all right, well, what's Espada supposed to do about that when these are the options he has available to him? Who is he supposed to replace Cam Smith with, or with, you know, DeZenzo has come along really, really well, but I don't think it was Espada's decision to have both Cam Smith and DeZenzo on the roster at the same time.
Yeah.
So that's more of a Dana Brown decision that Cam Smith's on the roster at all. So I'm not there yet. I think a lot of it is just guys either underperforming or performing exactly like you might expect them to perform.
Yep.
The pitching staff is, man, is I worried about, boy, the pitching numbers were so good early in the season. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden some of those big question marks about, okay, what is Ryan Gusto exactly? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What is Hayden Wesneski exactly? And is Spencer Arrighetti not going to break his thumb exactly? All those things have fallen on the downside of it. Somebody asked us yesterday about whether we should blame Espada for Lance McCullers and the way he's being used. I don't think at all. They got to see what they have in Lance McCullers.
Yeah,
he did a normal minor league stint and, like, checked off all the boxes. At some point, it's up to just Lance McCullers playing better baseball.
Yeah, deep down, Espada probably would have liked to have left Lance out there for about another 30 pitches, just so he's not, you know, so he's not eating up his bullpen at the beginning of a 17 game stretch like that. But it was, I mean, he had to throw in the towel on Lance after 35 pitches. Lance was just so bad. Yeah, like, this is Joe Espada can't help Lance not being good yet coming back here. Like, he went through a rehab, and he went through a normal rehab, where he looked good at the minor league level.
Yeah.
I think Lance is going to wind up getting at least four or five total starts. He's had two already. He's going to get at least two or three more just because they can't afford not to start him at this point. Like,
I think the hitting coaches take the most heat whenever the offense isn't doing well.
Sure.
And the hardest part I have with that is that Cintron and Snitker have been there through record-breaking offenses as well.
Yeah.
And the at the end of the day, yeah, the guys on this team are not Alex Bregman and Kyle Tucker and Carlos Correa and various other guys who have left through the years. I do look at a guy like Yiner, who has outperformed expectations as a batter, and think, okay, there's a guy that they've been working with for a while now, and he's shown evidence. Jeremy Peña has been kind of a long, slow slog up to where he is right now offensively. I just it's really hard for me to get to the point where I want to fire a baseball manager or a coach, because so much of it is on the individual players themselves.
Yeah, well, they're still hanging around too. Like, as long as they're hanging around, they're not going to fire. This is these are odds for next manager fired, not will this guy get fired. He's 25-1, so it's not like he's a favorite or anything like that. But man, anytime you see the name pops up on there, like, ooh, okay, he's on those kind of lists now. Okay,
the biggest thing with, because the in-game managerial decisions are, I mean, it's so much of it's just way more random than you ever want to admit. When it comes to the approach of the team, and for one, the fact that they used to have some of the best judgment in baseball at the plate, their plate discipline was immaculate. Last year, it was the worst in the league. This year, they've shown improvement, but they're nowhere near they were at the height of it all. When you're doing that poorly as a group, how much of that does fall on Espada and the hitting coaches and coaching and encouraging the right approach versus, all right, these guys just, again, aren't as good as the guys who used to be on this team.
Yep.
The players themselves.
Right. Text message. Did Joe Espada run off Bregman and Tucker and not bring in another pitcher? I don't even blame Dana Brown necessarily, but definitely not Espada. And that's a fair point. Like, this is lineup wise, it's a less talented team than the one last year, and it only gets hammered home more because of how those two guys are doing in their new places of employment, Bregman and Tucker.
I guess, yeah, that would be the, what are Sean and I missing? What should we be hammering Joe Espada specifically
for? Yeah, Texan, that's a good question. Yeah, if you're someone who believes he should be on an odds board like this, tell us why he should be. You know, again, next manager fired.
Cover our blind spots, damn it.
Correct. Hey, real funny, real quick, my buddy John was listening about our proposal for an NFL lottery system for the draft.
Mm-hmm.
His one suggestion: do an NFL lottery, but do it an hour before the actual draft. Talk about chaos.
How
incredible.
He's so smart. He's exactly right. I was way wrong on that. You're right. Not an hour necessarily, but a week before the draft. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Sean. All those lottery teams would be putting so much, like, that's
the trades
would be slam dunk number one overall quarterback, where as it was the case this year, where Cam Ward wasn't even a classic slam dunk.
Yeah.
We knew the Titans were going to take him already well before the draft.
Yeah.
Oh, do it 3 weeks before. Once all the pro days are done or something like that, do the lottery then. Yeah. Yes, he's exactly right.
An hour.
Oh, that's brilliant.
An hour before. Funny would that be?
I would say though a week to 3 weeks before the draft.
That'd be fun.
Oh, dude, that's brilliant.
Trades would be wild, man. Trades would be crazy. All right, Payne and Pendergast into the 9 o'clock hour we go. Speaking of the Rockets, Kelly Eco and Sam Amick have a piece on The Athletic. How are the Rockets feeling? If you're somebody who wants them to trade for a star, how are they feeling about the superstars we think might be available on this market? Kelly Eco and Sam Amick have that in The Athletic, and we'll have it for you coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere.
applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.